This is the Topics and Takes podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's Lauren Brownlow and Marilyn Payne. You can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app on iTunes or the Google Play stores, or Saturday mornings at 9 on 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's Topics and Takes with Lauren and Marilyn.
This is Topics and Takes. I am Lauren Brownlow from 99.9 The Fan and WRALSportsFan.com.
And I'm Marilyn Payne from WRALSportsFan.com.
There's no better place to start this week. Like, sometimes Marilyn and I, just a little peek behind the curtain here, sometimes we get together and we're like, wow, what do we start with this week? You know, we try to go for a little bit of an off-the-beaten-path type of story, maybe a sports and pop culture mix, maybe just sort of a story that involves an athlete, but it's not quite about sports.
Sometimes it's like man rompers. We did that to lead off.
Sure. And so the Justin Bieber wearing state. Like, we
it's
do.
It's pretty wide
we
open.
We go anywhere with it. And as soon as I mentioned the story to Marilyn, she agreed it has to lead. And it is former North Carolina and current Detroit Lion tight end Eric Ebron. He of the amazing quotes and just general, I don't know, there's no one like Ebron.
Brash personality.
Yes.
But like brash in a pretty good way.
Mostly. Yes.
Good in the sense that there's an entertainment quality there that is inarguable, whether it's entertaining because, I don't know, you're a state fan and you think he's not
yep.
really intelligent.
Sure.
Or you're a North Carolina fan and think there's no one who talks better smack than Eric Ebron.
Right. Well, I still follow him on Twitter. Because he's still an entertaining Twitter follower. He also still capitalizes like almost every word in his tweets.
Does he?
Regardless of...
I did unfollow him. I will not lie. The best thing about him is when he does something that you need to see, it's so outrageous that
yeah,
it ends up in your
retweeted.
Timeline.
You're
anyway.
Right. You're right about that. But and this one was no different, actually, although it hasn't been a very widely reported story. Eric Ebron put his baby registry on Amazon. And he said he did it. He tweeted this, he tweeted this about a week ago. Eric Ebron's baby registry with the link via Amazon. More so looking for opinions. This is stressful. LOL.
So he wanted people to give him feedback as to whether or not he was asking, he and the mother of his child were asking for the right gifts?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Like someone chimed in that he should get a Medela breast pump. It's much better than
and
the other brands. I would
enough,
vouch for this, by the way.
When I click on the link... So the registry, the second item list is a Medela Symphony double pumping system.
He's listening.
So although we, in hearing a headline, which is Eric Ebron puts baby registry on Amazon, makes link public, thought that was absurd, it seems that perhaps pending fatherhood has wised our dear friend Eric Ebron up a little.
Yeah, I think it seems like he's trying to get advice here and do the right thing. I'm trying to see if there's anything. Like...
I respect this move. I think it's hilarious
yeah.
and also very true to things that Eric Ebron would do, and we wouldn't see it coming, but also would not be surprised by it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a good move. I am a little confused though because the location is Houston, Texas.
I don't
so
know.
If anyone wants to answer that for me, then go for it. I'm not up in his personal life well enough to be able to figure that one out, but that was interesting. Due date, if y'all are wondering, October 27th, 2017. Little Halloween baby on the way.
Uh-oh. What's the
it's close.
What are the takes going to be if he skips a game for the birth of his child?
God.
I know. It's insufferable. People are the worst. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have much advice for him based on this registry. I mean, he seems to have a lot of different options for stuff. So
I told you guys the second item was that Medela Symphony. Wow. Breast pump.
Mm-hmm.
The first item listed is a Medela vehicle lighter adapter.
Oh, that's clutch.
So can you explain that one to me, Lauren?
Yeah.
That just seems like a personal item rather than a baby item.
Oh, you use that in the car.
I mean, I know.
No, trust me. It has been necessary.
Is it for the pump?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just like a
No, it's for the pump. It's specifically for the pump.
Okay. All right. Cool. So see ya.
It's not ideal. Let me tell you. It's not an ideal thing.
All right. I got you.
And I never had the guts to use it while driving. I know some of my friends
what?
That did. No, some of my friends will legit
wow.
do that. Yeah. Like some of my friends would do it like on the way to work and stuff. I never had the guts to do that. But you know what? I've used it in the car.
I need Eric to get like a sponsorship with Medela because the 19 things on this registry are now.
Yeah, he really took the advice, huh? He like added a bunch of stuff for. But by the way, you need a lot of stuff. Like baby
no,
stuff is crazy.
I'm just saying it's like all that brand.
Can I just tell you how crazy it is, and we'll move on because I'm sure people
you
are riveted
tell me
by
how
this
crazy
talk of
motherhood is.
No, what's crazy is I'm looking at all this stuff on the registry and I'm thinking like, yes, you need a lot of this stuff, and then I'm thinking how much of this stuff became. completely useless within like months.
Yeah, because they outgrow it, right?
Yeah, like that's really fast. Point. But you need so much stuff when they're so little. It's crazy, you know. And it's funny, like when my son turned one recently, I was people were like, "What does he want?" And I'm like, "Or what do you? Well, what does he want? What do you guys want for him?" In other words, and I'm like, "I don't know." Like he has like we got hand-me-down clothes for like 18 months, so like we're kind of set there.
Yeah, guys, and I sent Lauren the most desperate text message. Right before the birthday party.
You certainly were not the only one, by the way. But I was just sitting there like, I don't know what he wants. Like, toys? Like, because he's got so much stuff.
Right. And that's why I asked the question that I asked for a 1-year-old. I have a friend whose son turned one in October. So I guess he's about a year and a half old now. And she's very particular about his toys because she, as a mother, knows exactly which toys he will use and which ones are a complete waste of time, energy, money, and
that's a clutch thing to do as well. I went to register for initial gifts, like when I registered initially for baby stuff with a mom that had two boys, and she knew what I should register for and what was a waste of time.
Is Eric having a son or a daughter?
I'm not sure. I don't see a lot of gender specific stuff.
I mean, unless it
looks like a boy. Right.
I hope it's a boy. No. I don't know.
I'm seeing a lot of like.
Do we need an Eric Ebron Jr.?
The athletic apparel on here would lead me to believe that. Yeah. But there you go. Eric Ebron, props for that. Some people have taken a beating for that in the past.
Koala like baby that. Boys, 3-pack blue fish hooded towel. Oh, those are really cute. I love babies.
I'm telling you, you'd be so much stuff. It's crazy. You buy so much stuff and then all of a sudden it's like his towels barely fit him anymore. Like these baby towels we got.
Yeah, because they're longer.
Like
now.
Only a few of them. Will fit him. And I'm like, oh man, this is terrible. I don't want to buy new towels.
Anyway, congratulations to Eric.
Congratulations.
And
good move,
Gabriella, who are having a baby boy in October. Eric Ebron the second, perhaps, is on the way.
And EE3 sounds better.
It does.
But oh well, it is what it is.
Anyway, there's that. If you guys want to contribute to getting him some gifts or suggestions on what gifts they need for a newborn, just go to his Twitter or Google Eric Ebron baby registry. It pops right up.
Yes, it does. This has been aggregated into content by multiple websites.
I think I actually clicked, like, no, when it came up, it's actually the second link. I will say this. The second link is actually just their registry on the bump.
Well, good for him. There you go.
It wasn't even aggregated content. It was literally just took me right to the registry. It's really easy to find, y'all.
This is definitely... It's one of those slower weeks in sports. It's a slow time in sports where, you know, the NBA draft is over and we're sort of transitioning into college football season. But there is a big sporting event that'll wrap up this weekend.
Oh, wait, time out. Sorry. I just found this. Oliver Dash is the baby boy's name.
Oh, interesting. Dash, like 40, right? Like a 40-yard dash?
That's got to be it.
All right.
Oliver, I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. I like that.
I like that a lot. Good name.
Good job, guys.
I wonder if they'll call him Dash.
It's due, the child, Oliver, is due the day before or the weekend of the Lions hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, the takes.
And actually, this article on the Detroit Free Press is different than the date listed on the registry.
Well, luckily for Ebron and company, babies almost never arrive on their actual due date.
I was 2 months early, so Eric, you may have that child in this world before training camp.
Maybe on opening day. Who knows? So there you go. But yeah, Wimbledon is going on this week.
I had to give the world that last bit of information.
Wimbledon is one of those sporting events for me that, you know, you talk about, you've like a sports bucket list, right? And
yes.
I would say of the sports that I don't cover, that would be, and maybe even of the sports I do, if we're being completely honest, that would be like, that's my number one. I want to go to Wimbledon so badly. I'd love to cover it, but even if I couldn't cover it, just to go.
Above or below a Panthers Super Bowl?
To go to the Panthers Super Bowl? See, I don't know if I can handle being there in person. Like,
that's just the only thing in my mind that could trump
this. Okay, so like seeing one happen
for you,
like on TV, that would be above that. But like being at one, no, I'm good. I would rather go to Wimbledon. I love London.
Going that way.
London's a great city. I love tennis. And I think like the uniqueness of Wimbledon is something that really makes it stand out to me. And I've been watching it since I was a little girl. And I just really would love to go. Do you have an event like that of a sport you don't cover?
It's surely not Wimbledon. I know that it happens, and like it's an event that is Like, there are events in the sporting world that are completely specific to a location. For the longest time, I wanted to cover Duke, Carolina at Duke because of the environment. And Wimbledon has...
Oh, it's totally different
obviously
animal,
much
yeah.
different environment than Duke when they host Carolina. But it's Wimbledon, yeah. I understand that it's a uniqueness yep. that you can't get with any other high-level mm-hmm. tennis match, even if, you know, they had the same... all of the same athletes there would be different. And I get that. Wimbledon's just not one for me. Likely, the Kentucky Derby is at the top of my list. I haven't ever been to a NASCAR race either, so I want to do that. But NASCAR is a generic one. Like, I just want to go to a NASCAR race. Yeah, guys, I know, Charlotte. I know that it's absurd that I've never been.
I've never been to one either.
But do you want it like I want it? Because that is really why it's silly that I've never been.
You know, I have very mixed feelings on it, if we're being honest.
Yeah, exactly. So see, and a lot of your mixed feelings are probably things that attract me to this idea. I'm just young enough that I can still do it and not be concerned about a lot of the dumb stuff that's going to go on.
Sure, sure.
It just to say, like, I'm sure now for you, you're like, well, what would we do with Alex?
Oh, no, I'm not worried about that.
Oh, okay. All right, just
it's
kidding.
It's just more like, hey,
I didn't mean to bring a baby up again, guys.
No, it's really fine. I would just drop him off with someone. So I don't think about, like, I wouldn't take him to Wimbledon. God, that sounds like a nightmare. Mm. No, I would not do that. Okay. Trying to keep him quiet during points? No, that would not happen.
I don't know. He's not a particularly rowdy kid.
No, but you never know. You get in the bad scenario where you have to have him quiet, and trust
me, they're not.
Yeah, yeah, that's happened recently at restaurants, and I'm like, God, you're so quiet at home. Why are you exactly. trying to make all these noises now? But anyway,
no,
yeah, I would
NASCAR
not want to take him.
NASCAR and Kentucky Derby. Yeah. My dad and I have talked about
Derby's a good
America's
one.
Cup.
The one in Bermuda.
All of mine are races, but apparently
Martin Rickman, our friend,
I saw that. He got to go.
Of Uproxx Sports. Yeah. He went to cover the America's Cup. And I'm like, this dude gets the best assignments.
He has the best assignments all the time.
To go to Bermuda for like, he was there for a while. It looked
crazy.
Awesome.
Martin has like the bucket list job, I think.
He really does. I don't think he's done the Derby though. I wonder if that would be.
I don't want to cover the Kentucky Derby. I just want to go and have the hat and the dress and the
oh sure
all of it
the
I
mint
just
julep?
Want the mint
yeah.
all of the mint juleps
gotta have all that
and just the experience mm-hmm. I want to my dad and I have talked probably like 3 years in a row about doing that because he would love to go and bet on a horse and all that.
That's very cool.
So maybe one day I'll talk him into doing it. Should have been this year, but I got missed.
Yeah,
that's my big one, I think, is the Kentucky Derby, and America's Cup is a secondary, and then NASCAR.
That's cool.
In a sharp turn of culture.
No, I like that one. They're both quintessential, you know, sort of things for the South, right? So,
yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So I am who I am.
I get it. It's fine. We got to get into these Twitter questions because we have a lot this week. Normally, we would wait a little bit to get into those, but...
We got a lot of good ones, and they're all over the board.
They really are.
There's no consistency to them in the best way.
That's the way we like it. So we'll start with this one from very good friend of the show, Dr. Patty Jones.
Yeah, this was good.
Because we haven't been able to use her questions a few times, but now okay. I can use it.
Yeah, so Lauren and I co-hosted for a Topics and Takes Over. I hope that's the last time that phrase gets used with Joe Obvious.
You know what? It won't be.
On Monday, because Adam Gold was out before he came back to go to ACC kickoff. So we did that, and our top four at four was snacks. And out of that conversation came the fact that Lauren...
I kept Rainbow Chips Deluxe under my bed, which is... I don't eat them anymore, but that was an epic snack for me growing up, so
Keebler
I had to
cookie.
Include it. Yeah, it's a Keebler cookie with rainbow chocolate chips. It's delicious. And I used to keep those under my bed in high school. And it also came out that I kept Funfetti icing under my bed, which I would eat.
At some point, I don't really exactly remember my joke now. That we're
I think
away
you were
from
just
it.
Concerned about the usage of said icing.
No, I made some like tongue-in-cheek joke about the icing behind Lauren's
being
bed.
Being under my bed.
And I was like, wait, so what's that icing for, Lauren? And so
And I could
Patty.
Not even, yeah.
Lauren didn't get the joke for a minute.
Because
Joe
I could
got
not
it.
Conceptualize anything other than eating it.
Joe got it.
Which just tells you how addicted to, how important snacks were in my life at that time. So, but Patty asked, not so much a question as a comment. I heard about the Funfetti icing under your bed and questions about its uses, and I am now concerned.
The use was to put the icing on the cookie.
Actually...
Or to just eat it with
a
spoon.
I just ate it.
Or your fingers, depending on...
Yep, depending on what I had available.
Right.
Because like...
Knives are also
more,
an option.
A little more context to this, too, is maybe necessary. I grew up in a household where we were, my mom gave us very healthy meal options.
Same.
I did not get as many snacks as kids my age did, which meant that, by the way, when I was exposed to snacks, I went a little crazy.
Binge eater.
That's why I value
get it
snacks
now or
so
you won't
much.
Get it.
Right. That's so on Girl Scout trips, I would always be the one to like throw up because I would overeat.
You were a Girl Scout.
I was for a long time. Yeah. For most of my life. But yeah, I would get sick and they'd have to call my parents because I would eat too many hot dogs. I'd be like, junk food, and just eat it all and get sick. But anyway, once I got old enough to have my own car, yes, I would occasionally go to the store, you know, with my own money and buy, you know, some snacks and put them under my bed. I think we had some sort of a bug issue, either that or my mom just sort of intuited that something was going on and she looked under the bed. But like legit, people wouldn't want to come sleep over at my house because they were like, you don't have any food.
I've been there.
You've been there too?
My parents have been divorced for my whole life. And my dad was like pretty, I would say probably normal in the amount of snacks and healthy options we did or did not get. My mom was like super restrictive of everything. If I had a wild streak, she would have really gotten that backlash of kid rebelling hard, but I don't have one. So she one soda a day, but only 5 days a week. The only drinks we were allowed to have were water and tea, like, but not store-bought tea, like homemade sweet tea. So just the, like, so yeah. There was a complete conscientiousness of what was in it.
Right, right.
My granddaddy farmed all the way through high school and gave us fresh beef and vegetables all the time.
Cool,
so we got a lot of really fresh food.
I'm sure it was delicious.
Farm to table is, it's not just trending, guys. That's a thing that used to happen like literally all
cool.
the time. So we had a ton of fresh food. And so, you know, yes, we ate red meat and there was cheese and we ate pasta sometimes and all that, but you know, we weren't allowed to have Reese's Puff cereal. It was Chex or Cheerios
and actually,
or something unsweetened.
I was gonna say, yeah, I could have sugar cereal on weekends. That was my mom's
thing.
No,
we didn't.
Only
we
on
were
weekends.
Not, we never had it. Like, it wasn't allowed in the house.
But
at my
nothing,
mom's.
Nothing like Reese's though. She drew the line at certain cereals, but like
Fruit Loops. I lied. Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
I could get like at my birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a special treat. But yeah.
So yeah, I get that too. I did. I'm trying to think. I snuck food, but I don't know that it happened probably until high school. I said this on the radio show on Monday too. I used to take these vitamin C's that I was supposed to be taking, and they were awful. They tasted like orange for like a minute, and then I would like drop them behind my bed after I acted like I took my vitamins. So that was a whole nother type
so
of
go.
Things that I hid behind my bed. Patty, Lauren
you
ate
you got
icing.
A lot of info there,
I was
Patty,
being an but... I was just being an idiot and making a joke that didn't really carry either.
Right.
So sorry, I won't do it again. I probably will do it again.
I think we got the next question is maybe our favorite this week. It's one of them, and it comes to us from Amy Davis, who is a longtime friend of both of us, I would think, on Twitter. Amy asks.
This is just so good.
Why do I have to calculate inverted? I think she means to say
matrices. I think she purposefully put
matrices. I think is how she manually for math class. What and how are they used? All right, you're asking probably the wrong person here, Amy, because I am bad at math.
What's the last math class you took, Lauren?
I took some sort of like advanced math class at UNCG during the summer on purpose so that I would get a good grade. So that I could fulfill my math requirement in college.
Like mid-college?
Like, no, it was like my freshman year or something. I took it in the summer literally because I was afraid to take a math class at UNC because I was afraid I would get a bad grade. I got an A. I did well in it, but I don't typically, like in high school, I really struggled with math, so I did not do well. And when I read, I remember hearing about inverted matrices, but when I looked it up on Wikipedia, it's just a lot of words.
It's either algebra 2 or pre-calc.
I think
could be calculus.
This seems calc-y to me. Or geometry? Or trig? Trig, maybe.
Could be trig.
Yeah.
It's not geometry, I don't think.
You see why I'm bad at math?
I think I read this and I thought this was a calculus question, Amy. We're not sure. Please let us know. What and how are they used? We were really hoping you'd be able to tell us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of scrolling down here. I'm seeing
Lauren's
a lot of equations.
Lauren's got the Wikipedia page here to try and help us, and we still don't
seeing
know.
Seeing a lot of equations here to how to do this, and I don't... Applications! All right!
Oh, here we go.
We found it. Okay. Oh, no.
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 It's other math applications.
Okay. Matrix inversion plays a significant role in computer graphics, particularly in 3D graphics rendering and 3D simulations. Examples include screen-to-world ray casting, world-to-subspace-to-world object transformations, and physical simulations. Matrix inversion also plays a significant role in the MIMO, multiple input, multiple output technology in wireless communications.
Do you want to go into tech, Amy? It sounds like you probably don't. So
right.
You're never going to use this again.
Yeah. I mean, I have never, I haven't.
I'm now really questioning
frankly,
what math
like,
class. Amy, I need to know what math class you're in.
Frankly, like, I got a little twitchy just reading this.
The delivery was spot on.
Well, thank you. Believe me, I did a lot of work to try to seem like I knew what I was talking about.
You were like, oh, here it is. I got it.
No, people thought, when I took that class at UNCG, people thought I was really smart with math. They were like, can we get your help with this? I was like, what?
Not to brag or anything.
No, definitely not to brag. I never got, after the ninth grade, I never got above a C in math.
I took AP Calculus my senior year.
See, I was, I didn't, I chickened out. I went
senior year.
I went honors calc.
It was great. Oh, I loved it. So here's the thing, guys. I actually-
You're a math person?
I do like math. I do. I never wanted to go into any, I mean, I've wanted to be a reporter since I was like a eighth grader, freshman in high school. So math was never really going to be it for me. So I took AP Calc senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's a really morbid story about how I passed out taking the AP exam because I was so sick that I went in with a 106 degree fever and tried to take the test anyway.
Dude.
What? So they had to remove me from the AP exam. But I did end up retaking the exam and I did make a high enough score that I placed out of all college math. So
oh, nice.
I haven't taken a math class since senior year of high school. So I was 17 last time I did a math class. That's why when she was like inverted matrix,
matrices.
I like the extra S's. I get it.
I do too. Matrices.
Because it's hard to say matrix plural. I was like, I don't even know. Like,
yeah.
Why do you have to do that? Because your teacher told, your professor told you to?
I mean, at least we found some real world application for those things, because if you had told me that you would never use those in the real world again, I would believe you. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think that's one of those things that, like, of course there is some applied
but it's
use,
just very specialized.
But it's so obscure and uncommon that the rest of the world, we're all out here saying, why didn't y'all teach us how to do taxes?
I mean, I was just getting ready to say that, Marilyn. Like,
or like, how
not
do I
have
plan?
Got taken an econ class?
Oh, we took an econ class, but I still
See,
know
I
how to do
that.
Taxes.
I didn't have that in high school. We didn't have that.
I had no econ in college.
Yeah, I took econ in college.
Didn't teach me how to do my taxes, though.
No, but I'm saying, like, if they could have had, like, a practical math class.
A practical math class.
Well, how
that's
clutch
the
would that have been?
Need.
Give it an honors credit behind it, and a bunch of people would have taken it.
That's true.
You know?
Or even just, like, you know, help me figure out what these 17 bank accounts are for, and what's the difference between a, what is it, Roth 401?
Roth.
Roth IRA.
Uh-huh.
And then a non-Roth
the
IRA.
The other one? Yep.
What?
That's the one.
Anyone, if anyone wants to tweet at me the answer. Accountant needed.
Right? Like,
can't pay you, but accountant needed. Anyway, let's move on to the next question. Amy, I'm sorry we couldn't be more more helpful.
All right. Well, let's go to a very good friend of the show now.
We Richard. Have a lot of friends.
Richard Averett. Well, he's
our best
in-person
friend.
Yes.
He was also the first official friend of the
to
show.
To be fair, Lucy's probably our best friend.
Oh,
his daughter, Lucy.
Who we disappointed on Monday when we
Came
declared
team
that we
goldfish.
Are Team Goldfish yeah. rather than Team Cheez-It.
More. I want to clarify something too.
I don't dislike Cheez-Its.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't normally get like militant about food on Twitter. I don't.
There are a few things that I'll really take a hard stance on.
But
food's
I feel
one of them.
Very strongly about Goldfish.
They have smiles and they have little puffs of air when you bite them.
My best friend and I in high school, we would take one of those enormous milk jug containers
My
up
favorite.
To her room, some Diet Pepsi, and just go hang out and eat Goldfish and talk. It was great. I have great memories associated
I'm gonna
with Goldfish.
I still need to buy one of those giant cartons. Anyway, Lucy, Richard's daughter,
yes.
Apparently we let down.
We let her down.
Because she's Team Cheez-Its, and I took the... This is probably the most manipulative of a child I'll ever admit to being on social media or in public. I just said, I feel like this is the best time to tell her to switch teams to Team Goldfish rather than Team Cheez-Its.
Yeah,
if we disappointed
right.
her and she wants to be just like us, tell her to switch to Team Goldfish.
Exactly. That's a good point. But Richard asks us, if each of you were in the home run derby, whom... Very correct use of whom there, Richard.
This is why we like
whom
him.
Whom would you get to pitch to you?
My answer to that question is no.
My answer is my dad, if I had to, because I know my dad would like literally almost put it on a tee for me. He would make it easy for me.
Home run implies more strength than I have.
See, but this isn't a hypothetical world where we could hit those. So you have to think of it that way.
I took BP with the Durham Bulls.
Really?
At the Durham Bulls Park last summer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where you were. Radio was there. Like Joe and...
Super Prego, probably.
Oh, wait. No, shh. That's a good point. I do know where you were. You and Alex were at home, not standing in the heat in late June.
Yeah.
Anyway, did BP. I did hit the ball out of the machine. There's a video of this on my Instagram if you guys want to go see it. Dennis Glasgow, who is in charge over here at Sports Fan, or excuse me, at 999 The Fan, slowed the video down so that could see the live action in every thorough detail. And right before I actually got a hit, I was being given direction by the field crew from DBAP. So thank you guys for that. Still appreciative. Would never have hit that ball without you guys. And I say, hey, it worked! Because I did exactly what they told me. And so then I hit the ball.
Oh, cool.
And so
I haven't hit a baseball in a
long
time.
Answer to that question is, if you were in the home run derby, whom would you get to pitch to you? No. Is my answer.
Marilyn.
I just, right. I don't know. Like, who would I get to pitch to me? Not any of the team, not like, any of the guys on the teams I cover is the also the first, not Blake Snell.
When I was into baseball.
Can I answer it that way?
Okay. When I was into baseball, growing up, a league of their own, you know?
Yes, I'm very familiar. There was a minor league promo about this like a week ago that you would really appreciate.
Oh,
I need to show you.
I love that. It meant a lot to me as a young girl. And I very much felt like, all right, I'm going to be a baseball player now, right? Turns out I'm not good.
You're about the same height as a shortstop.
Yeah, but I don't throw very far. I went out for softball in high school. There's actually like a very funny story about that where they were like, "All right, let's shag some balls. Let's throw it around the yard." And I try to throw like to first base or something, and it just hits the ground right in front of me. It goes like 10 feet. And I'm like, "All right, I'm done. Like I'm out. I'm good. I clearly this is not for me." So I decided to move on to something else. But yeah, I used to throw in the backyard with my dad when I was a littler girl, and he made it feel easy for me. Like he made it feel like I could do it
before.
Totally. So I would totally get my dad to do it. I'm not,
and I get asked
Believe
kind of
me,
often.
I couldn't hit one either.
So were you an athlete? Is that how you got into your job? No, by no means. I was absolutely not. I danced competitively for 6 years, and then I got into cheerleading and was competitive with cheerleading as well as year round. And I can still flip, tumble, whatever you guys want to call it, a little bit, but I liked that because it put me around sports. I grew up in a neighborhood with seven guys, and I would play the sports in the backyard.
Yeah, there were
with him,
there were a lot of guys
no
in my neighborhood too.
Hand-eye
yeah.
coordination here. There's no ability to hit a shot. There's no ability to hit a ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's can't. I'm terrified of soccer balls because I got pegged so many times. Being
I was gonna
the only
say,
girl in the neighborhood will do that to you.
You know, people made fun of me because we did that video recently with Austin DeLuz of North Carolina
Never would
FC.
I ever do that.
And, well, see, I knew, I had a feeling too because Austin's a really nice guy.
He would take it easy on you.
And he did. He totally took it easy on me. But also, I was very scared of the idea. And I felt like he had a lot of control over the soccer ball, right? So he wasn't going to hit it at my face. But
I feel like you guys did that challenge backward.
Yeah, maybe
what
so.
What you should have done
should
is
have
tried to kick
backwards.
The ball
yeah.
through the professional soccer goalie.
Yeah, I know.
Rather than,
you.
Like, can you mind games your way into making a goal rather than...
I was fine with it, though. But I was very... I sort of ran away from the ball because, I'm like you, I'm very afraid of being hit with the ball. So.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants that.
Yeah. We played street hockey back in the day, and I would get pegged repeatedly. With that little ball that hurts so much.
I mean, some of that is like, did you get out of the way? But for me, like, there's
yeah,
nowhere I could go.
Yeah, I didn't, because I'm not fast.
Well, for me, it was me versus seven guys.
Right.
And there's nowhere that I can go
yep.
with no ally to so
you.
As to not be hit by the ball. That's little girls and boys and
yep.
elementary school and how it's going to play out.
Yep.
I'm not athletic. I'm not.
Yeah.
I will say this too. If y'all go watch that video, I'm telling you to go Instagram stalk me. It's not that important. But if you find the video, you will see that I don't have any follow through in my swing. And that's probably the main reason I couldn't hit a ball out of the park.
I hear you. All right.
I stopped like probably 70% through the swing as opposed to going all the way through.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go on to the next
Sorry,
one.
Richard.
And I have to apologize to our friend Jonas Pope here. Because our colleague, I guess.
Yeah, the Durham Herald
from
Sun.
The Durham Herald Sun. Because I thought we had answered this question already, but we haven't. So
I don't think we have.
I am happy to answer it for Jonas. Best media meal between the Triangle schools. This used to be a no-brainer answer.
Used to be a no-brainer.
It isn't anymore.
It used to be Duke football.
Thanks a lot, Duke football.
And then they
nothing.
Built this
I'm just
beautiful
kidding.
Stadium and took all of our good food
God,
away.
Jerks. Should have just kept it the way it was. Or just done both, right? No. Either way, Duke football had the most amazing spread. Just all kinds. Like, you could get you had multiple meal options there. Like, there are more multiple meals you could eat there.
Oh, yeah.
You could go barbecue. You could go hot dog. You could go all kinds of different directions. They had vegetables. They had all kinds of stuff. But anyway, they don't have as many options anymore, so they're off the list. So I actually might go...
Is this all sports we're doing?
I'm just going to go football and basketball. So I'm going to go NC State football, I guess. Yeah, that's where I'd go with it. Either football or basketball for State. State has really stepped. I feel like State
like
has
State's
done a good
basketball
job.
Basketball food a lot. Okay. Their football food always looks better than it is.
Well, that's fair. But I like that they have a few more healthy options in the
they
football
do. Yeah, they always have like a fruit
They always
bowl
have some nice vegetables.
Or a salad. They do
yeah.
have good veggies. I'll agree with that, I guess. Honestly, I don't...
And they don't run out in football, to be fair.
That's
in
true.
Basketball, they
oh,
run out.
Oh, and they give you like halftime wings sometimes.
They give you halftime popcorn.
State football does do a good job, but sometimes it's a little misleading what it looks like versus what it tastes like.
But well, what's better than
football? When Carolina gives us Bojangles for basketball food.
Oh, well. All right. That's fair.
Is that cheating?
Kind
Moe's,
of.
Moe's, I'll say State, when State gives
State
us Moe's,
Moe's
catering.
Oh,
catering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I mean, when they bring in other places that I love, it's when it's the best.
Well, see, that's the one reason why I was kind of like, well, but yeah, I think State basketball does a really good job of trying to make sure they bring in good food.
They do. I mean, they have a State basketball probably has the best variety. Oh, wait, shoot. I just forgot or just remembered. It is called, what's the place that serves cake? Nantucket Grill in
oh
Chapel
my.
Hill.
Okay.
When Carolina brings us Nantucket Grill and there are 12 Nantucket cakes to
this
pick
happened.
From and you can get unlimited cake and there's still cake left at halftime.
This was a special circumstance, I think, because it was the State game, the State Carolina basketball game that was like snowed out for a day and then... postponed
and then we got cake.
There were like literally 12 cakes on the
there
media
was so
table
much
and I
was
like
that
was
a good day.
My god, that was the best. That was so good.
I mean,
but I
again,
think it was a mistake, to be fair.
Don't say that to me.
Well, it was a mistake to have it there. Like, I don't think they meant to give us that, all that cake. We usually don't get that kind of dessert from them. I think it was a mistake.
What's your point? It's winter. Everybody needs to,
well,
know,
I'm just saying,
put on a winter coat.
We have to judge it by the body of work. You know what I mean?
I'm not judging anything by a body of work. I'm just telling you which meal I like the best.
That was a great day. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think too, in general, though, sometimes the teams will give us brunch for a noon kickoff, which I really appreciate. And that's State.
Yeah.
I'll say State football and
State
Carolina football
does this.
They both
do a great job of that.
And when they give us brunch for a noon kickoff and you get there at like 10:45, 10:30.
You can't decide which one you want. You want breakfast? You want lunch?
It's
great.
You
can have either.
I love when they do that.
I
we
do
really
too.
Appreciate that. You know, I wasn't trying to like be mean about State's football food. I just, there have been a couple times where I've been like, oh, that wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But yeah, no, I think State and Carolina win this one. ECU, gosh, I don't even remember what it was.
I can't remember either. I've been there a couple times and I don't
remember.
They had
barbecue last game. I can't mm-hmm. remember what the game was.
Okay.
And it was delicious. ECU does a good job too for football. I've never covered a basketball game there. I don't know. Not Duke is my answer.
Okay, yeah.
That's my answer.
No offense, Duke. Like
You guys used to be the hands-down winner. Now you're the hands-down loser.
Wow.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to tell you that.
They were undefeated probably for all of the time there in football food.
We've talked about this on the show before we move on to the next topic, but basically the food situation generally has an inverse relationship with how badly they want you to cover their team, right? So like if they want you there, like Duke football used to be begging. That's why they had the best food.
Wait, let me say this. They feed you at midweek availabilities. So
do they still do that?
Yeah, they have pizza.
See, that's what I'm saying. So like, oh, they have pizza now? God.
Jimmy John's was the best.
Oh, it was so good.
They used to give you a Jimmy John's box.
So like, I'm sort of making this point. Yes. How badly they want you to cover them. So that's why, like, for Duke and Carolina basketball, they're basically like, whatever.
I have never felt as if the food at Carolina basketball was whatever. Bojangles is in the rotation. That's the opposite of whatever.
I like Bojangles a lot, but I'm just saying, it has an inverse
They take Bojangles this year, I'm coming for you.
They won't take it.
What if they do? It's your fault.
That's a pretty good option for them, so I think they're okay with that. So, anyway, I'm just saying, like, Duke is the most like that, because Duke basically gives you a voucher and says, go to the snack bar. So, and that's fine. They can do that, because they're Duke basketball. They can do that. It's
they
not like we're
don't
not...
have the space like the other... Well, now
that's
they kind of do.
They do now.
But for the longest time, it was not realistic for them to put a buffet
in Cameron. By the way, there's nothing
Cameron
wrong with that at all. Like, we can eat before we get there. We're fine. It's just people ask, so we're
Y'all injured. Know how much I like hot dogs. I got no issue with a food voucher. I'm just not going to qualify it for
I'm
one of the
best food.
I'm good
with that barbecue
food.
Sandwich there. Like, it's fine.
That's a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on.
I think we learned on this podcast, as we learned Monday on the Adam and Joe show, minus
food.
Adam, we just like food. It's really hard to disappoint us, but even when we're disappointed, we're happy if we're fed.
All right, so let's move on to the next. This is from Hokie Smash ASD, Matthew. He's my friend, but I don't know if he's a friend of the show yet. We'll get there.
I don't think I've seen
I've been
his...
on their podcast before. It's the ACC All Sports discussion.
Am I even tagged in this?
Yeah, you are.
New introduction. Hello, friend.
So Matthew asks, okay, is it hashtag fake news that Miami wins the Coastal? See, I'm the wrong person to ask this question to, Matthew, because I have been burned by Miami repeatedly. Like, I'm always like, this is the year. This is the year. And it isn't. It's just not. It's not the year. Mark Richt, it is a new era with Mark Richt as the head coach. I get it. They have a really good defense. Their quarterback, like, people are a little bit worried about their quarterback. I think he'll be fine. He's still a four or five star quarterback. Like, he'll be okay. I just, you know what? I'm always going to reserve a little skepticism for them because I don't trust them. I don't think I can pick them. I just don't think I can. Is it fake news? I don't know that it's fake news. That's a strong statement, Matthew. But I can't trust them. I can't do it. I don't know how you feel, Marilyn.
I mean, I don't know. Again,
they've
this
always
is
got Florida State as a crossover. It's worth remembering in
right.
terms of that ACC slate.
Like, it's such a toss up, and the votes, you know, go how they go, and people choose a preseason winner because we have to. But the Coastal is such a question mark this year. I like Virginia Tech. We discussed this a little Monday. Again, and after thinking on it more, mm-hmm. I suggested Duke because they have Daniel Jones
their schedule
as a quarterback,
so brutal,
but the
yeah.
schedule is a problem,
and
Miami has the same problem, and Virginia Tech I don't necessarily think has quite the same issue with scheduling.
They've got Clemson, but it's at home. I still think they're not winning that game, but they got Clemson.
But that's one.
And it's early, and then they've got at Boston College.
Yeah,
so
it's like, I like Virginia Tech maybe as the best option
yeah.
here, and that's not got anything to do with Miami or really almost anyone else in the Coastal. It's just, what is going on with
I think
the Coastal
their defense
Division's
will be,
offense?
Yeah, I think their defense will be fine, and I think their offense will be good enough, Virginia Tech. So
Coastal Division about to set a record for fewest points scored in average in division games.
I just hate
ever.
That like all of the takes about the Coastal will be validated this year. You know what I mean? Like usually,
yeah, they totally
usually
will.
People are like, the Coastal's complete trash. I'm like, it's really not, but it's really probably going to.
It might be this year. It really might be. I think my thing too with Miami and this is what I was looking at and kind of thinking about while you were answering is when I think about Miami last season, mm-hmm. Brad Kyle, whatever. I think Mark Walton and Joe Yearby were the reason that the offense did what it
no
did.
No question.
So if everyone's big, quarterbacks are important. I'm not dismissing that or the passing game, but there's also a big drop off, not just in the quarterback situation, but in the entire offensive personnel.
For sure.
And
although we like Gus Edwards, right? I think he's still there. Sure. Anyway.
I got nothing on that, which is, might be to the point.
This is a related question that we also got from Matt Porter at Matty Ports on Twitter. He covers the Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post.
He also was covering the All-Star game this week, which I really enjoyed seeing all of his posts.
Matty is a jack of all trades. Like, Matty can cover some hockey for them. And
I was going to plug his... Y'all
Maddie
need to follow Matt Porter. I was going to talk about his Twitter picture, which used to be him with his giant American flag, but I think he changed it like yesterday.
You also need to follow him on Instagram if you would like pictures of his dog, Charlie.
Yeah, follow Matt Porter.
Anyway, Matt lives that life in Miami as a beat reporter and does a really, really good job, primarily with football, but he does some basketball as well, you know, kind of with the relationship Miami people have with football and basketball.
School.
Right. He asks us, either of you been to Miami, and what did you like about it? See, the thing is, I haven't really ever spent a lot of time in Miami.
Same.
It's always sort of like passing through, whether it's for like a cruise or like going to Key West or like, you know what I mean? Like I have barely ever spent a lot of time there. I did cover a basketball game once there.
Really?
Yeah. It is a really quirky arena. That little, I mean, that place is like as small as Cameron, if not smaller.
Wow.
Yeah. It seats like 7,000.
Well, why would you need it to be any bigger?
You would not. You're correct. But for Carolina and Duke, you might. But other than that, yeah.
I meant Miami, but I got you.
That's what I'm saying. Like for those games specifically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because
people show out for those. But yeah, it's kind of a quirky arena. I did enjoy that because I like to see the various venues. It had like a DJ. Very aggressive DJ with like a lot of
very
aggressive
Miami.
Thumping. Yes, it was very Miami. I've never spent enough time there, I feel like, to really give you a full picture. But I also, I don't hate Miami. It strikes me as one of those like big cities where you have to wait in traffic a lot and like everything is really spread out. I wouldn't mind staying on South Beach for a minute. I think that would be cool.
We went on a cruise, my family, last July. Actually, this time last July, I was on the cruise, I think. This time last July, I think I might have actually been in Miami. I loved it. I wish I had been in the city longer. Mm-hmm. We did like one extra day after the cruise ended. And so here's why I got really mad. My father dated and was engaged to a woman who is from Miami. And for years, I was like, let's go down there and visit. I want to go to Miami. I'm talking like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened. We go on this cruise and it's leaving out of Miami. And I was like, great. Can you book an extra day on our vacation schedule for us to stay? Because I want to see Miami. I've been asking you those for years. And he books my flight so that I'm the only one that leaves and doesn't get to stay in Miami.
Ah.
And he and my brother do. And I raised Cain over it. So we changed my flight.
Cain, no pun intended. Sorry.
I was just trying not to cuss after the week I've had.
It's all right.
But yeah, Cain, pun intended now, apparently. So we went through, went down to Miami Beach and just kind of like saw it all. And it's such a cool city. And like even the different areas of the beaches, mm-hmm. Like I don't have the names of these right, so I'm not going to do it. But there was just so much to see. And I really want to go back and wish I was able to spend a little more time there when I did. Still bitter. Have I been there? Yes. Did I like it? Yes. Do I want to spend more time there? Yes. Would that maybe change my impression? Perhaps. But
okay.
Willing to try. I can't think. Is it the Wynwood?
I don't know.
Arts District. There's a really cool place. Yep. The Wynwood Walls. Where there are just all of these murals and expressions of art all mm-hmm. over the place. And seeing that was just so pretty and so cool. So I really liked it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
This is a really star-studded week in terms of like, I just realized how many questions we have from actual media members this week. Mike Rutherford from Card Chronicle covers Louisville. This is a random one. I don't think this will take us long to answer. I know my answer is short to this. In the original Beauty and the Beast, when Belle finds the Beast unconscious in the woods, how did she get him up on that horse by herself?
Never seen Beauty and the Beast in full.
The thing about that is that Beauty and the Beast has a talking teacup, a talking, candelabra?
Yes.
A talking chest of drawers.
Right.
So my answer is going to be magic. And I feel like that's as legit as any other answer could be, Marilyn. I don't know about you.
I'm on board with it.
Okay. So sorry about that short answer there, Mike, but I'm going to go with magic.
Why did you pick that detail to want to
I don't know,
explain.
But it's a
not to you,
know,
to...
Just of all the things, I don't know if that's actually in the original Beauty and the Beast that those things talk, but, you know, fairy tales are pretty magical in general, so I'm going to go with magic. I'm going to go with magic.
I'll go with magic, too.
Or maybe that adrenaline rush, you know, that you get, like, where you can see, like, tiny women, like, lift up a car when they're, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
That's also a good suggestion.
That has some science, but science really isn't necessary. So now... last but not least, and speaking of NC media members, Josh Graham.
He works in Greenville, North Carolina for 94.3 The Game.
That is correct.
Did I get those numbers right?
And I knew Josh back when he was a lowly intern. Well, not lowly. That's rude. I don't know why I called him lowly. That's very mean. For the David Glenn Show.
Lauren's just trying to be dramatic.
He's lowly intern. Like a peon.
We've known Josh for a long time, and we like him. But he asked us this question, which I thought was a dumb question until I heard Lauren's answer.
And then you thought it was a dumb answer. Which which North Carolina football coach would you most like to hang out at a bar with? You know, I like this question because I did not think it was an easy answer. You know where my mind immediately went when we got this question?
No.
Was back to ACC kickoff. What was it? 2 years ago, I think it was.
Pinehurst.
Yes.
It was in Pinehurst, and it was
yes.
in 2015 because that's how I got this job.
Yes. When Larry Fedora was talking about like his sort of diet and exercise regimen where he doesn't drink beer.
Yeah.
And then Dave Doran and David Cutcliffe took that very funny picture of them holding six packs of beer where their abs would be.
And then Larry had his six pack of abs.
Right. That was sort of in response to Larry's picture where his actual six pack.
It's the one that blew up. Sydney Fedora, his daughter, I think posted like a vacation
where
picture
he was, like,
or something.
Ripped.
This might have been right before kickoff. And then his response was at kickoff.
Yes.
About the beer.
About like his diet. Yeah. And his lifting. Because apparently he does like no cardio at all. He just lifts.
Some of that's just genetics though.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like my brother works out all the time and just is not defined because that's our genetics.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you'd probably have to like take some sort of supplement, I guess, you know?
Yeah, for our
some
family,
would.
We would.
Sure.
I think, you know.
And obviously, Larry can take whatever he wants because he's just a coach. Like, if he wanted to take a supplement, it'd be fine. I'm not saying he takes one. I'm just saying, like, it's not against any sort of rule.
This is why we can't have nice things, Lauren.
I'm sorry. Did I step
starting
too far?
Rumors on our podcast.
I'm just saying, like, he could do it. It's
anyway,
illegal.
Larry's ripped. And when we got
so
this question about which coach you would want to drink
of.
With.
And that's why our answers are probably different.
Because your answer is?
I think my answer is David Cutcliffe.
Because?
The thing is, David Cutcliffe, just for context here, people, he is very, as you put it before the show, grandfatherly, right? I think that's a good way of putting it. He's got stories he can relay from Peyton Manning days, you know, from the days of war. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a grandfatherly, right? So it's kind of
time at Tennessee,
you know?
And Ole Miss.
Right, exactly. So he can relate all these, or growing up SEC, growing up in Alabama, you know,
really
hunting
what it means
for toads and frogs, and make it some metaphor,
right?
Right? Where he can make
he'll teach you the same lessons that he teaches right. his players.
Exactly. So it is sort of grandfatherly. However, I am of the belief that if you sat down with Dave at a bar. Dave, I'm very familiar, at a bar and like had a few drinks, get a little buzz going, get a little camaraderie going, that he would open up and really tell you what, like the real deal about some stuff.
I think he would too, but I think his real deal, here's the thing. I understand that everything that we see from coaches and players and everything that we present is, honestly, we are all very aware of what we're doing on social media, in the public eye, in conversation, on this podcast. We understand there's an audience, and they do too. But I still think Coach Cutcliffe is close to authentic as is. Many of his stories, he doesn't. I mean, he had a Michael Vick one time where I was like, "Did you really just tell us that at podium?"
I know.
And so there's so little of a. It would be fun. There would be less of a filter, surely. But I just think it would be very close to what we already see from him. And I don't want to drink
some
with my
real nitty gritty stuff.
I'm sure that he does, but I don't know. That's not what he would be less. If I'm just like kicking it at a bar.
I also think he would talk a lot of junk about some other coaches.
He would, and that would be funny, but Larry Fedora was my answer, and
okay.
I said, this is not even a question. Doran is sneaky funny sometimes, but it's like, it's not consistent enough for me to trust
like...
it. So Doran got DQ'd on inconsistent funniness.
Coach Moe and
Scott Satterfield from Appalachian
for
State University
sure.
get honorary mention here because I think both of them would, they're not so masked
Coach
in the,
Moe would be great.
In the P5-ness
yeah.
that they would not
be super
have
chill.
Fun.
Yeah.
But I think Fedora also gives few enough F's at this point that he would cut it loose
maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe.
I mean, he's been through the worst of it in terms
true.
Of like needing to really mind his P's and Q's,
you know,
and get through the weeds.
I'm basing it at least somewhat on past history, but I feel like he would not, because of how like not discerning he is with us already, that he probably wouldn't be, or he's not very revealing with us. So I feel like he might not be very revealing even in that setting.
I'm not doing this to get secrets out of coaches. Okay. I'm not here to try and liquor dudes up and get information on their pasts and their program. I'm talking about who I would want to hang out with.
Yes, yeah, I definitely want to hang out
with my grandfather and someone who might bore me or might make me laugh so hard I cry, but there's really no telling which way that's going to go, are not qualifying for me.
Okay.
See, Coach Mo and Coach Satterfield and Coach Fedora, who I think I would who would be a good time almost no matter what, even if I felt like they weren't telling me everything.
See, that's
I would enjoy.
I feel like it's a middle ground there, because like I feel like when I envisioned how it would go with Coach Doran, you're right, he can be sneaky funny.
He can be hilarious.
But you know how you never know like what kind of drinker people are?
Yeah.
So like, can you imagine, like, he could be like a super funny guy, really loosens up, or he could be a guy that really gets in his feelings.
And
then
to be
it gets
fair,
dark.
Same. That's how I drink sometimes. You know, I might get in my feelings and I might make a lot of jokes.
We all have those friends and we all know people like that, that get in their feelings when they drink.
I never get that far in my feelings, but he might. I get
what
you're saying.
But I could see him being very like caustic and just like a little bitter. Or I could see him totally letting loose and having the best time. But it's a wild card. Like you said.
I don't trust the wild card enough.
Like he'd be over there muttering about cut blocks.
Stop. He would not do that.
And fall downs.
Quit it.
And the Atlantic Division. And
maybe.
Then it's like, wow, thanks, Dave Downer. Like, thank you for making this a miserable experience. But it, like I said, it could also be awesome. So we don't know.
I'm sure none of them want to drink with us, so it's fine.
I'm sure they
don't drink with Lauren. She's going to liquor you up and try and get you to spill dirt on everyone around you.
I am a journalist, Marilyn.
Yes, but that's unethical.
That's I would never report it. That's not the point. I would just want to know. I just have always had things that I've wanted to know about, right?
Okay, yeah, you can get information off the record. And
there are people who are going to give it to you. I would never reveal it. Don't get me wrong, Marilyn. I would never reveal it, because you're right, that is super unethical, and I would never do it.
I'm just talking about who would I want to sit down with. Anyway, Jeff Gravely and I had this conversation about basketball coaches in Brooklyn at the ACC tournament. This was actually inspired by Dana O'Neill's book on Villanova from a year ago that she wrote on their national title.
Uh-huh.
Had the way that she found out about... oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. What is the head coach's name?
Jay Wright.
Jay Billis told her that he was one of the three coaches in basketball that he would most enjoy sitting down and having a drink with.
So she had a drink.
So she wrote a book about his national championship run.
Oh.
But that was how she first got to, I guess, know Jay. I'm paraphrasing. And Dana, mm-hmm. Sorry if I got that story wrong. So Jeff Gravely and I made our lists of head basketball coaches, three.
Wow.
Top three in all of college basketball that you would want to sit down and have a drink with.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, I forgot one now, but it is Mike Bray.
Number one
is
me.
Mike Bray.
Yep.
Undisputed.
Yes.
Mike Bray.
Yes.
And Mark Gottfried is two.
Wow.
Because he just doesn't care. You know he's having a good time. I would also not do that alone on the record. But
yeah.
But there is almost, you cannot convince me that I would have more fun drinking with a head basketball coach than I would have drinking with Mike Bray and Mark Gottfried together.
I mean, that's
because it almost feels like a little like mafia, and like mafia is maybe the wrong word there, but those are my two. Jay Wright, I would put on the list. I think just on Dana and that recommendation alone. And I don't know. I mean, because I'm not doing this like who's going to have the best stories. That's not at all how I'm looking at this.
Well, I think for this, you need a guy that can have a good, is pleasant and will be able to open, have a conversation with you and doesn't view you as like the enemy.
Right.
Or, and has shown some semblance of
which is also why Dave Doran's DQ'd.
Yeah, and it's
because we are the enemy and I understand why.
And for me, I think Rick Pitino would probably be on
that
list.
That was the third one. That's the three.
Oh.
That's the trifecta. Pitino, Gottfried, and Bray. That was the three.
Okay. For now that Gottfried's gone, though, I don't know. I'd have a hard time deciding between Jim Boeheim and Leonard Hamilton. I don't know if you've ever spoken to Leonard.
I love Leonard Hamilton.
Have you ever spoken to him at like one of those events, the media events?
No, I've just interviews.
Lenny is the nicest dude. Like Leonard is really, really nice and cool and funny. And I like him a lot.
I feel like Danny Manning might be the same way.
Danny,
but a little quieter.
I've done a one-on-one. Humble brag, please. Back in the day, I did a one-on-one with him when I did a story on him, like early in his Wake Forest days. Not that it's not still early, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was his first season, I think. But anyway, I did a one-on-one with him. He was much nicer than I thought he would be, because he's very intense, right? Like every time you see him, he's super intense and he's kind of short. And so I was kind of like thinking he was going to be respectful, but just kind of short with me. He was not. He was really, really good, but he's still super intense.
Is he?
Like, yeah. You don't get to be like, like as good as Danny Manning was without probably being that intense, I think. So
makes sense.
He was still a little intense, and I think it's hard for him to turn that off. But he was very nice. Actually, Randolph Childress, their assistant coach, is somebody that I would put on that list if we were doing assistants, but that's neither here nor there. Buzz Williams, I don't know what to... That's a toss-up one for me.
Loose cannon, man.
Yeah, very much so.
Might throw him in the Dave Dorn column.
I feel like you could end up getting in a really long conversation about like chemtrails or something. So I don't... You don't want to go down that road.
No, that's my three, though. Bray and Gottfried and Patino.
Interesting, yeah.
Those were the three that I had on my list.
Well, what of the local ones currently, what would you go with? I go with Roy. I don't know why. You want to? Maybe I just have a thing for talking to guys that seem like grandfathers, right? Like to chatting up the granddads. And Roy is the quintessential granddad right now. Like, Roy is 110% granddad.
Coach Cutcliffe are the two that
they're like the granddad mascots.
I haven't met Keats yet, so I can't even really do this fairly for our local basketball.
He strikes me as pretty intense too.
Yeah.
But a little more laid back than Danny, but we'll see. We still have to get to know him.
I have been trying and wanting to do a story on Danny Manning and an aspect of the team's travel regimen for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that I can do that this season. And then I will know where Danny Manning is on my list.
Oh.
It's not the suits. I can't tell you what it is.
Okay, that's fine.
But you'll love it. Goes along with our four at four snacks.
I liked him very much. He was a very nice guy. Just super intense, and you're like, whoa.
I might go Roy, too, but I don't know.
K, I think, is one of those guys, Coach K, just for context, that I think would be cool in that setting after a few minutes, but he would be super intimidating at first, you know? Like, maybe the drink would more be for you so that we could all relax and, like, have an actual conversation.
I think that...
He just also doesn't strike me as the type of guy that would do that very often.
I have so many questions about this. Like, is it... What size is the group?
Where are
we drinking?
Well, let's just say you're sitting next to a coach at the bar.
What bar? Where are we? What
trophy?
What month?
May.
Okay.
I just thought of that because trophy May.
If I'm in trophy and Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski walks in, I have so many questions just already.
Right?
Why are you guys in Raleigh? Do you drink beer like this?
I know. So see, it kind of...
Krzyzewski likes wine, I feel like. And I don't feel like Roy Williams drinks.
He doesn't.
At all.
Yeah, you're
which
right.
Which just makes me really...
But I wouldn't mind getting him in that kind of setting, because I still think he'd probably be chatty.
Sure. Yeah, of course he would be.
And he's a very friendly guy. Very nice guy.
Got so many plot holes in this theoretical question.
But Mike Bray,
so annoying.
Mike Bray is easy. Mike Bray is the easy answer because Mike Bray is funny. Mike Bray is interesting.
What I would have given for them to hire him at State.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry for doing that. And I'm still Team Les Miles on the football team. Still want him to come here so we can interview him because he's crazy.
And Mike Bray throws a decent amount of shade as well, which I respect. And I think he would turn that shade into actual critiques if you got him in that setting.
Yes.
Like, oh, I hate that guy. This is the type of thing that fascinates me. I want to know which coaches like each other and who doesn't.
Why?
I don't know. I just find it interesting. Like, I would legit listen to David Cutcliffe and Paul Johnson talk about each other for like 10 minutes each.
It's been a few podcasts since you mentioned Paul Johnson.
Yeah. Larry Fedora's BFF. So he'd probably be there too if you were having a drink with Fedora because they're BFFs.
Are they?
Yes. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Don't you remember in Pinehurst? They were hanging out.
No.
Yes. They were together the entire time.
I wasn't. There was apparently a lot of spotting of Larry Fedora in the wild at Pinehurst that I somehow missed all of.
Yeah, I think you missed some of that.
No, I missed like all of it.
Yeah, well, they were hanging out like the entire
time. I showed up right after they left where everyone was.
I would have gone through a million coaches before I got to Larry Fedora as Paul Johnson's best friend, but whatever.
Same.
It's fine.
Same. I love that, though.
It intrigued me about both of them that they were very close, right? It made me want to know more about, like, their friendship.
Absolutely.
I need a sitcom about this. Maybe we'll workshop.
I just don't care who hates one another. That's their business. No one asked me who my least favorite other reporter is.
Uh-oh. I don't have one.
I love everybody, first of all,
everyone.
And I really mean that.
I really mean it, too.
My people pleaser in me makes me have to like everybody.
Yep.
But truly, I also am surrounded by people who have always been nice and helpful to me. And if people don't like me, they've hid it from me so well. Thanks, guys. But I don't care. I'm picking my drinking buddies based on who my ordinarily drinking buddies would be. And what would the typical scene be?
Next time we're at...
It's not pry secrets.
Well, you know what? When we're at Basketball Media Day this year, we'll let Mike Bray know.
Track Mike Bray down.
We'll see if we can't get that to happen.
I'm just kidding.
We'll do what we can. All right. We'll be back next week, hopefully, unless we've upset someone.
Football's starting soon. Maybe we'll stop talking about alcohol so readily on this podcast.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Topics and Takes podcast with WRALSportsFan.com's Lauren Bronlow and Marilyn Payne. A reminder that you can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app on iTunes or the Google Play stores, or listen on Saturday mornings at 9 on 99.9 The Fan.